My friends, it's good to be with you this evening as we celebrate this solemnity of all of the saints. As I was reflecting on my homily for this today, this is my third homily and each of them are different. And as I was reflecting with this afternoon, I was thinking about my 30-day silent retreat I had the privilege of going on in 2012, about 6 years into seminary. And when I got there, there's a beautiful chapel. It's at Broomtree Retreat Center in South Dakota, in Irene, South Dakota. If you ever get a chance to go, it's a great place to go on retreat. And the chapel there is very beautiful. And they have the crucifix, of course, behind the altar in the sanctuary. And next to Jesus' heart, where it's pierced, it simply says, "I thirst." And one of the last seven words of Jesus in the Gospel of John is, "I thirst." And as Jesus is there, I found myself meditating upon that phrase, those two words, for hours during the course of that month, asking the question, "Lord, do I thirst for you in the way that you thirst for me?" And I found the answer to be no, many times. I don't thirst after the Lord in the way that he thirsts after me. And so I spent that month really praying fervently that I would change, that I'd allow the Lord to work on my heart in such a way that I at least met him halfway. We can never thirst for the Lord fully in the same way that he thirsts for us. He's infinite, we are finite. But I can at least meet him halfway in that. I wasn't even doing that. And the Lord convicted me in that in a good way, in a way that was good for me to hear. And I asked the Lord for that grace to thirst after him in the way he thirsts after me. And to be mindful of that, and be mindful of the times where I need conversion of that and on that. The saints thirsted after the heart of God with every beat of their heart. But they had to learn that. They had to grow in that. Virtue just doesn't happen with the snap of our fingers. We know that that takes being fervent. We know that takes practice. We know that takes desire. We know that takes intentionality. And all of those things lead us closer to the Lord. The saints set that example, that model for you and for me. To be a saint simply means to be in heaven. To be a saint means to be holy. To be a saint means to be like God. And the truth is, every single person who has ever been created and ever will be created, who has an immortal soul, is meant to be a saint. Their church calls that the universal call to holiness. That's not just for those nuns and priests. That's for every person who has a soul. That's you and that's me. That we are meant to be in heaven with God. That God set up the whole plan of salvation, sending his son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die for our salvation so that we could receive the gift of sainthood, that we could receive the gift of eternal life, that we could understand how we fit into the heart of God. And to be a saint means simply to live in this life with heroic love. My motivation for eternal life, my motivation to be holy, the only motivation that will truly fulfill me, that will truly bring that reality about, that will make me thirst after the Lord like he thirsts for me, is love. Nothing else will satisfy my heart. And not an earthly understanding of love, but the depth of the understanding of what love truly is. We use this word agape, agape love, complete gift of self-love, holding nothing back love, self-sacrificing love for the glory of God and for our salvation. The Lord asks us to have no other motivation in this life except twofold, the glory of God and the salvation of our soul. Everything else is to be in union with those two purposes, those two ends. The saints got that in their life, and they understood that in their life, and they live that in their life. And now they are your friends and mine in heaven with God, before the throne of God, seeing him face to face, as John says in that second reading. As we cried out in the psalm, "Lord, this is a people that longs to see your face." They are there, seeing the face of God. And they are praying fervently every day that you and I also come and receive that gift that they are now receiving. And they are our friends. And they're human beings just like you and just like me. They know what the cross feels like to bear. They know what suffering is all about. Sometimes we wrongly think of these saints as superheroes, that nothing touched them, everything was easy for them. Sometimes we wrongly think about that, even about the Blessed Mother. Life is difficult and life is challenging. But there's beauty in the cross. There's beauty in the breaking of my heart for the Lord. That's what he did when he said to me, "You really don't thirst for me in the way I thirst for you. But I can do something about that," the Lord says, "if you let me." But Jesus is not going to force his way into our hearts. He gives us this great gift and this great burden of free will to surrender freely, joyfully, to his divine will, his divine plan. That divine will, that divine plan is nothing less than you becoming a saint, you being in heaven with him. So if there's anything in your life, anything in your heart that is getting in the way of you truly thirsting after the heart of God, or you're thirsting for something else or someone more than God, let him bring that about to conversion in your heart. And that's a daily conversion, not a one-time deal. I didn't quit praying that prayer once I left my retreat. I need to pray that prayer every day, all the time, with every beat of my heart. That's what the saints did. And to ask for that grace, "Lord, remove any obstacle in my heart, particularly sin, particularly those temptations that I give into, that I put in place of your love, goodness, beauty, and truth." And I ask for my patron saints, particularly and all the saints, to pray for me, that I not lose sight that this life is a saint-making machine if I allow it to be in my life. But again, free will. I have the choice to push God aside, to not make him a priority in my life, to not give him the time of day, to not thirst after him, and I will be miserable ultimately. So Jesus says to us, the Beatitudes are all about loving to the full, holding nothing back from me, having that self-giving love, that agape love, and you experience joy when you do that. You experience fulfillment when you do that. You experience peace when you do that. We don't do those things to receive a reward, necessarily. We do those things to grow in relationship with the person, Jesus Christ, and to live that every day as if that is the most important gift in our life, because it is, and to let us love others in and through that love that we have received. It's the only way it could ever work, that the Lord has to fill me up first so I can give that away to others. That's what the saints did, and they did so in a heroic way and in simple ways. You can love simply and heroically all at the same time. You don't have to die a martyr to love heroically. It's a yes to God and it's a no to sin every day to love heroically. It's to give my life as a loving sacrifice to God every day heroically. In this Mass, you and I celebrate the saints powerfully. They're with us here, even if you can't see them. And you and I get to receive that which is agape love from this altar of sacrifice, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, agape love itself into our very hearts and souls. Do I thirst for the Eucharist and Jesus Christ in the way that he thirsts for my soul to be in heaven with him as a saint? That's the prayer that I want to leave with you today, to ask the Lord for that grace and to check our hearts if that's not the case, as I have to do very often. And to ask for the saints, particularly Mary, the greatest, the queen of all saints, to pray for us, to not let anything stand in the way of that relationship with God, and to ask the Lord to remove any of those barriers, any of those sins through our repentance that are getting in the way, and to ask our friends, the saints, to pray for us, that we not lose sight of that vision of heaven.